Hey, everybody, welcome back to Ultimate Insider, Bear Insiders Podcast. I am Mike Pulaski, your former Cal quarterback, and today I have the man here at Bear Insider, Jim McGill, with us. Editor, contributor, writer, thought leader, like all that stuff here. Disruptor. Jim is here along with us today. Jim, welcome to the podcast.
What's up, Big Mike? Good to talk with you.
Yeah, good to have you here, man. So we're going to talk about offense and defense going into spring ball. Obviously, we're about ready to go. And this year, in this day and age of college football, there is a ton of turnover every year on a roster, and Cal is no different. A ton of turnover this year, guys coming in. Turnover on offense in terms of the staff, turnover on offense in terms of players. So today, it's offense. We're going to talk about that offensive side of the ball. First, let's kind of review last year. Jim, I'll let you kick it off. Offensive performance during last season, your thoughts?
It was kind of hit and miss. I think there were a lot of high expectations for Spann coming back. The offense was really good under him in 2016. And, you know, there were some solid things last year. The team averaged 31 points a game, which in some of the previous years would have accomplished a real solid season. It just really put them in the middle of the pack this year. Some of the things they did well, rushing fourth in the Pac-12 with 177 yards a game. Solid with sacks allowed, just 23 on the year, which is fourth. Lacking in offensive production, 10th in the league with 215 yards a game.
Passing.
I expect that to change a decent amount this year. And then we've got a obviously big turnover with Mike Blesch coming in to take Jake's place. You talked with Mike the other week and got sort of a sense for some of the subtle differences there would be. He was an offensive coordinator at North Texas before, highly effective and a very balanced offense. I think people are a little worried about the offense being run heavy. Talk a little bit about what you guys discussed in terms of his philosophy.
Well, so just kind of touching on last year, obviously, I think quarterback play was a huge piece of that last year, right? Early on, we didn't have great quarterback play. And so I think getting Fernando in there kind of solidified things for us. I think both in terms of making the right reads. Now, he was a little nervous early on. You could see that, you know, kind of like a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs. But then once he got his feet underneath him, he got a lot better, and I think he played a lot better. Bowl game being a different animal entirely as the offense as a whole. But I think the run production, as you said, so much better. Blesch, the new O-line coach, huge difference on that front. The way he worked with his O-liners was awesome. I think the passing game off the run reads, early on there was a ton of missed opportunities, and they took advantage of some of that. But they really relied heavily on the run game because that was a strength for them with Blesch in terms of what they could do. They knew they had Jade Knopf. So that said, talking to Mike Blesch this year, I expect as a former O-liner, right, guard center himself, they're going to run the ball a lot. And so ideally for a quarterback, I just talked to Ryan Tolner again the other day, former Cal quarterback, good friend, one of the top agents in all of professional football, professional sports, just a fantastic dude. And he does a lot of work with analysis. He's always been a really analytical guy. And his point was that quarterbacks, the first thing you should want to do is hand the ball off, right? Hand it to a good running back, hand it to somebody that the O-line can set up. Because what that does is it then sets up the passing game. I was very much the beneficiary of a fantastic running game when I was at Cal. And that is a huge difference in terms of what your team can do. If you can run the ball, it forces teams to stack the box. And once they stack the box, now you can throw the ball downfield because you have more open space. And I think with Mike Blesch, that's going to be the answer. Now, in talking to him, the RPO game and the run reads are going to be a huge piece of that. So you're going to see the RPO reads where passes will come off the run. So if you can run the ball effectively, if you can run power and counter and inside zone, outside zone, mid zone, zone ISO, those kind of things, then they have to add the extra body to the box. And the linebacker, the outside guys, the edge players, what they call overhangs, have to then contribute to that defense inside the box, and it's going to clear space. So I expect run heavy first. That's what I expect to see. But he's going to throw the ball. He knows that you cannot be great not being balanced. And I don't think he is under the impression by any means that they are a dominant offensive line. I think he's working to make them an efficient and very good offensive line. I don't think he's under the impression that his O-line is dominant up front. And so if you don't feel that way, you can't be just a solo run guy. But a great balance of 50-50 run-pass with the option in the quarterback's hands, depending on what defense does, I think can be very effective in the ACC this year. Now, that's a huge piece for me, is trying to figure out what the ACC is. I have no idea what to expect going back there. I see the teams on TV, but I know every year what to look for in the Pac-12 because I knew those teams. I knew the personnel. I've known them on a year-in, year-out basis. I'm not sure what I'm going to see or what we're going to see when we go back to the ACC. Your thoughts?
Yeah, that'll be really interesting. I don't think there's any overwhelmingly powerful offenses that we're going to see next year. Obviously, Florida State was the closest to that, but they lose their stud quarterback. And I think there's a lot of room for Cal to be one of the stronger offensive teams next season and surprise a lot of the media out there who aren't expecting much from the program.
Yeah, I don't want to come in with the rose-colored glasses, right? There's a lot of room to grow on that offense, so they need to get their stuff done up front, and you need to get the big guys up front to get it done. So, you know, I want to go into this legit. I don't know what to expect. I'm going to watch a ton of film between the end of spring ball and the start of college football because I want to know what we're facing going in. And so, I even made the calls to our guys who run the radio. I'm like, I need to go back to media days. I didn't really need to go to media days in the Pac-12 because I knew everybody. I could just pick up the phone and make calls. I don't know anybody in the ACC. Like, I don't know any of these teams. I don't know any of these coaches. I've got to go meet everybody for the first time. So it's all going to be a new experience, which is going to be fun, but it's going to be eye-opening as well. Yeah, a lot of studying to do. Yep. Let's start. So let's review kind of what Cal's got coming back, what we can expect, right? You can't control everything else, but you can control yourself. So let's see what we have up front in terms of offensive line. Coming back, I'm going to put my specs on here so I can read the small print. But on that offensive line, you've got a couple guys that were there. Siopi Fatakani, love him. Like, he's a dude who has a chance of being very, very good. Third year, junior, physical, tough, got some nasty to him. TJ Sessions is back. He was a starter for the Bears, part-time, full-time starter, depending on how you look at it, for the last couple of years. Bastion Swinney got a lot of snaps. And so you've got a little bit of experience coming back on that offensive line, and you also have Aguilar, who got some snaps for the Bears as well. And so you've got some dudes who have had some playing time, who have some experience. And that position, you very rarely come in as a freshman and are very good coming into the into a season as a freshman comes in and plays well. You can do it at skill positions, not at the offensive line. So the more you play, the more you're in the weight room, the more you're around good college nutrition, the better you become. So you hope, in the second, third, fourth year of guys' careers that they can become very good players. And a couple of those guys, again, I like Siwape. I think he had the chance to be a nasty player.
Started at left guard once Cendric went out, and I think he'll have a chance at starting at center because they're going to have to make a move there with Brian Driscoll moving on.
Yeah.
So that'll be something interesting to see where he'll slot. When will Swinney then become full-time starter at left guard? And we have to talk about a couple of portal guys coming in, which will be big additions to the line for sure.
Yeah, always have to talk about the portal guys. I'll let you start there. You do a ton of the recruiting and a ton of the lookout on these guys. You've done deep research. I've watched film. You go ahead and give me your thoughts.
So the two big guys are Rush Reimer, who came from Montana State, FCS, one of the best offenses in the country, our best rushing games in the country. He was first team all-conference. He's a guy that you and I both like on film. Good feet. Moves well, nasty streak, good technique. I like him to come in and compete at the left tackle spot. He could play left guard. He's naturally a right tackle, but I kind of think they'll probably be reluctant to move Session after 2 years. But, there could be some flipping around going there. Blesch likes to mix and match guys in spring ball and fall camp to see where they fit best. So
I think that's right. I think they're going to see where guys work. Once you get him in camp, it's a different animal. Yeah. Reimer, I think the key point that you made is that Reimer is a finisher. Like, he puts dudes on their ear. He finishes blocks. He's got a lot of nasty in him. I love that in a big guy. And so if a big guy has that, it's a good start for me. Him and Vatakani. Vatakani has that as well. But Reimer also is technically pretty good. He's got really good feet. He moves well. He punches. He takes good steps. Like, everything about his game is pretty nice, and he's sticky. And what I mean by sticky is when he gets on a block, he maintains that block. He gets his footwork in place. He gets his hands in place, and he works those blocks. And so that's really good for an offensive lineman who can do that. Now, he did that at the FCS level. Can he take that and then transfer it to the Power 5 or Power 4 level, I guess now, Power 4 level, and be the same guy? It remains to be seen. It can take a while. It's a much higher level of competition. But he has a real chance, and if he can, he's a really big pickup on that offensive line.
Yeah, for sure. Right, you've got Victor Stoffel, who's a big 6'7", offensive tackle transferring from Temple. He was a starter midseason. He was named offensive MVP. I haven't really heard of midseason awards in other conferences, but they did do that there.
Yeah, season.
And that looks to be someone who adds viable depth at the tackle position. I mean, I suppose there's a chance he could flip from right tackle to left tackle too. So nice to have a little bit of competition at the tackle spot, because there never seems to be enough of them on the roster.
No, that's the truth. Depth of tackle is huge. Yeah, we got a bunch of right tackles in camp, huh?
Yeah.
And so the beauty is he's an all-conference player at a higher level than just the FCS, right? The AAC. So it's a FBS-level school. And Temple's got some nasty to it, right? It's all those boys from Philly. Stoffel's actually from Stockholm, Sweden, which is interesting, like via the U.S. to Stockholm, Sweden and back. But a guy who is he's interesting because he's huge, 6'7", 300 pounds, you know, 295, super tall, played well at Temple. And so having depth at tackle, those dudes are always getting hurt. We've lost tackles every single year. And so it'd be nice to have another tackle out there on that offensive line, especially as we talked about, the RPO game, the run game being essential, having a tackle that can block and move like Reimer, and then having a tackle that can stick and, you know, play pass pro is really big if you're going to have those guys. So having a couple of guys who can play at that position along with Sessions, it can be a huge benefit for the Bears.
Yeah, for sure. And then for depth, you've got Aguilar, who you mentioned. And Trent Ramsey's a guy who's played parts of two seasons, hoping the light comes on for him this year. He was a four-star recruit with a lot of big offers out of high school. He was a little bit light, and that's always the challenge with offensive linemen, getting good weight on them so they can maintain that strength and leverage. And then, you know, you want to hopefully see some growth in some of the other guys on the roster, like JC transfer offensive tackle Martin Tyne. He wasn't quite ready last year. I liked his JC film, and he's a big guy. And then Nick Morrow is a massive former
tight end
that had to put on weight too. I think he came to Cal at like 265 at 6'7". So I think he's closer to 300 now. So that could be a big key for him and his ability to maybe provide some depth.
The game was different back then, but Azeem came to Cal at like 6'7", 235 or something like that. So yeah, he was, dude, he was skinny as a beanpost. He was playing in the Pac-10, starting at tackle at 242 at one point.
Wow, and he was so good.
He wasn't so good then. He was holding on, but he was, and don't get me wrong, he was really good, but he was 242, right? So he's just hanging on, but he ended up being really good because, you know, as a puppy, he was light and he had to fight and he was just nasty. And he had it in him. And so, but he was super light. He was part of my recruiting class. And I remember him, you know, he was a beanpole coming in for a big dude. And so,
did he end up weight wise?
I think he finished at Cal at 285.
Okay.
And then,
totally light.
But back then, that wasn't horribly light. Like,
yeah,
300 pound tackles were just becoming a thing. You know, guards and centers were 272, you know, 275, 280. The 300-pound offensive line was okay. Clemson had a 300-pound offensive line. But, like, it wasn't – you didn't have to be 300. But in the NFL, when he got there, he had to be. And I think he got up to 330 in the NFL. So, had to stack on some weight in a hurry in the NFL. Big difference when that's your job. But anyway, so there's any – those light guys that are athletic can be pretty damn good if they are given time and space to develop and the reps to get better as well.
Yeah.
So that's the offensive line. Let's move on. We know running back Jay Nott, right? Jay Nott's a dude. We know he's a dude. He stuck around. It's a huge boon for the Bears to have him coming back. Good production last year. Some explosive moments as usual. His speed is special. The return versus UCLA, special. He's got some real tools on that front. Let's talk about the guys that are coming in behind him, because I think that's very interesting in terms of guys who can play. Justin Williams-Thomas, obviously injured last year, high hopes for him. There's a guy that we expect to see something out of. Javian Thomas got injured, had the head/neck thing going on versus Oregon last year. And so he's a guy that we expect to see something, just a burner out of McClymans. And so some real depth there, plus a couple transfers coming in as well.
Yeah, and we don't want to forget Byron Cardwell. He averaged almost seven yards a game at Oregon.
Right.
Didn't play at all last year. So he's off people's radar for now, but he's supposedly coming into the spring season pretty close to being back to playing condition. And then we've got a portal transfer coming in, Kadarius Callaway, big running back that signed originally with Alabama out of high school and realized that he needed some more work at a lower level. So he did a JC transfer. And
yeah, well, it was super interesting, though. They signed him as a DB, which was like that. So he went to Alabama as a DB. So clearly, athlete, right? If you're going to Alabama, four-star guy, you're an athlete. But they signed him as a DB. I watch him on film. He has tools. He's fast. Like, he can roll, which is really good. He's a little upright like Jaden. He's a little – his hips aren't quite mobile as you would like to see, as you would love to see in real athletic, kind of smooth running backs. But in terms of speed, if he can hit the hole and turn the corner on you, boy, he has got some burners on him, and he can create space in a hurry.
Yeah. And, you know, you talked about Jaden. It was really nice to see him lead the Pac-12 in rushing. Yes. And he led by a good margin, went over 1,300 yards and 12 touchdowns. So consistently good production from him. That was big. And Javian Thomas, a lot of people overlook him, but he averaged 6 yards per carry on the opportunities that he got. And he had a touchdown, too. And he brings elite speed to the field. So he's a good change of pace guy there. Nice having
great speed at that running back spot. Yeah. Javian Thomas, like, this dude is your fly sweep back. He's your outside guy. You know, so here's what's going to happen. We're going to get lip service about how, no, he's going to run the ball inside. He's going to pound the rock inside. He's going to, yeah, got it. You don't want to make a living with him inside pounding the rock. 5'10", 175 is not an A-gap player for running back. That's not what you want to do. No. But he does have the speed to be the cutback guy. He does have the speed for the fly sweep guy. He does have the speed to be the screen guy. He's got some tools. You don't want to match it up a ton in pass pro. You may have the biggest heart in the world, but going up against a 280-pound defensive end, that ain't going to matter a whole lot. No. And so you want him on the outside. You want him in space. And so that he's a guy who is going to be a unique specialty back who can do pretty special things with his speed.
Yeah, it's nice to know five deep at that room. I mean, it looked like a pretty deep room last year, but just ridiculous levels of injury. Hopefully,
got shallow in a hurry, didn't it?
Yeah. But on paper, it looks like a really deep athletic room with a lot of unique skill sets and a lot of potential production from that group.
Yeah, no doubt. And so I think running back is pretty solid. If the offensive line gels, Jaden can have another great year. Maybe he'll lead the ACC this year. It would be interesting. I would assume, and I haven't looked at a stat, that he would be the first back to lead two different conferences at the same school in two consecutive years.
Probably a safe bet.
I would think it's a safe bet, right? Because how often do teams switch? So it would be cool to see him do that as Cal's feature back. And I know Mike Blesch would love that, right? The offense would love that. And that would also be a great thing for our quarterbacks. So for everybody listening, don't fear being run heavy. Being run heavy is good. If you can be physical and be run heavy, then it will open up stuff for your passing game. You just need to have enough balance so that defenses can't put you in a box. And so if we can run the hell out of the ball, awesome. Let's do that. And then we can throw off the backside of it, and everybody can have a great day offensively. I'm all for it. I don't care if we throw for 220 a game, as long as we're efficient when we throw it and we're running the ball well, we're over 400 yards of total offense. If we can do that and then play good defense, that's a tough team to stop.
Right. You want to flip over to the other side of the game, the quarterback position?
Let's absolutely talk about quarterback, because so going into last year, had a whole bunch of transfers, right? So you get all these guys coming in, high hopes at quarterback. Sam Jackson came in, and I just think he wasn't the dude for the job. When you bring in an untested player, talent be damned, they still have to pass the test. And playing in the Pac-12 is a crucible. It's tough. Playing it at the Power Four level is tough. And so Sam Jackson, physical skills, maybe not mature enough at the quarterback position to be the player that they hoped that he would be. And so Sam's gone out now. Ben is gone as well. Couldn't find a home for him. He could spin it, but couldn't finish on the field. And so those guys gone. Coming back, Fernando Mendoza. We got to see Fernando. Fernando has all the tools, by the way. He's not the 4-4 runner, but you don't have to be in a zone read offense. Again, in my conversation with Ryan Tolner, we were talking about quarterback play. And when a quarterback ends up on the ground, the physics are never in their favor, be it a sack, be it a scramble, be it running the ball on a planned run option. When he ends up on the ground, the physics are never in their option. And so the physics are never in their favor. And so eventually that takes its toll. Quarterbacks get a little more jumpy in the pocket. Quarterbacks get injuries, get nicks. Quarterbacks aren't as efficient passing. And so quarterbacks should, first and foremost, want to throw the ball downfield. You're never going to run it downfield as fast as you can throw it downfield. So their job, first and foremost, is to get you in the right play. Then it's to make plays from the pocket. Then it's to make plays and extend the play so that you can make passing plays on the move by extending the play. Then finally, it should be to run the ball. Now, part of that zone read package, to keep the defense honest, you have to keep it every now and then. And that's okay too. But you don't want to do that a ton with your quarterback at this level, because the physics are not in their favor. That said, I think Fernando Mendoza has all the tools to be a very good quarterback in the pocket. He is the thing that he did so much better than the other two quarterbacks when he came in last year was the run read option. Against Oregon State, all of a sudden the running game opens up because Fernando Mendoza pulls a couple of them and he gets 12, 14 yards on a rush where the defense wasn't honoring it at all. And so it makes that defense play honest, which opens up the run game inside, which then opens up the offense. And, you know, Oregon State was a really good defense last year. So I think that he makes the right decisions. He makes the right reads. Fernando is a dude who is always trying to do the right thing. Now, no quarterback ever does the right thing all the time, but I think that year of playing, the year of maturity, and I know that he's working hard on his game in the offseason, I think that's going to be a huge help to him this season coming up.
So, Fernando, you know, obviously he was thrown into an adverse situation as a redshirt freshman, comes into the season third string, and all of a sudden he's a starting quarterback. But, you know, a 63% completion rate in those circumstances, pretty solid performance, and he ended up with 7 yards per attempt, not bad, 14 TDs, 10 interceptions. But as you noted, the big differentiator with him is he knew what he was seeing. He knew how to process what he was seeing, and it makes all the difference in the world, obviously. So yeah, having him come back, you know, another year under his belt with how hard he works, he's not going to leave any stone unturned to make himself a better quarterback.
He will not. That is 100% the truth.
That's a big deal. And then we've got Chandler Rogers coming in. He's a guy that Cal recruited the year before. They ended up taking Jackson instead. Yeah, the 62% completion rate, similar to Mendoza. Threw for a lot of yards, 3,382 yards, 29 touchdowns, only 5 interceptions. He's pretty good on his feet, too, 180 yards. Not a lot of total yards, but they subtract sacks from total yards. So 4 TDs as well. So, you know, he can pull it and make you pay if you don't have the right coverage on defense. So, you know, maybe Fernando gets some legit competition in the spring. They'll both be there. And then freshman EJ Clement will not be around in the spring. So he'll strictly be a depth guy in the fall when he comes in. But those two should have a reasonable battle. I mean, how often has Cal come into a year with two quarterbacks that you could be reasonably confident?
Yeah, where they felt comfortable at that position, right? That's a unique thing for sure. Yeah, I mean, and to get like back on Fernando, your point, our receivers didn't separate very well. So to be 63%, 7 yards per catch, per completion, that's a pretty big deal too, because he was having to throw balls into super tight windows on top of it. So to get now Chandler Rogers, talk about him, watching him on film, people will think that he comes from that, you know, read offense, Louisiana Monroe and then North Texas. He's actually more of a pocket passing guy. Now, he can make something happen when the pocket breaks down, but he's not Sam Jackson. He's not 4-3. Like, he's not that kind of physical talent. He can move. He can avoid dudes, and he can throw it. He came from the same type of system that Coach Blesch is running, so that's a big bonus. I think the verbiage is actually still the same, too. And so that's a big bonus. He can come in and start working there. But it'll be a good competition in the spring. We'll see who can operate in this system. I know one thing in particular, that Fernando is a dude who has the team, chemistry-wise. As soon as he got in there, the chemistry of that team just changed. Everything changed. The teammates loved him. The offensive line loved him. You could see dudes celebrating. And it was a whole different feel to the offense. And I think that's a huge difference. And Chandler's going to have to plug himself into that, right? Get that same type of love from his team if he's going to play and play well and be a part of it to keep that cohesion. Well, another thing me and Tolner talked about, if you look back over the history of the Pac-12 at guys that were able to start as freshmen and get through and continue playing as all the way to their senior year, those teams ended up being pretty good for the most part. You know, bowl games, establishing themselves as good offenses, some of them going on to big-time bowl games, Rose Bowls, when you look back over the course of guys who did it. And so there's a chance if Fernando gets, you know, last year and then this year and then again, you start building, you can be pretty good. Chandler's going to be come in, you know, grad transfer, kind of quick in and out. And so you have to consider, how are you building your team? Is it just going to be mercenary style where it's just bring dudes in and it's one and done and we go? Who knows? That's up to the coaches. But it's one of the considerations you have to take into account as a coach when you go into the season now. A lot of positions you can do that. Quarterback's a little bit tougher. So not to leave anybody out, but Blay Brummel, I liked him. I watched him throwing in terms of the way he threw the football. And so I liked him last year as a dude who's got some tools. He's a guy who has potential, and so we'll have to see how he kind of grows up at that position as well. A guy who can contribute, who can be part of that quarterback room and compete at that position is always important.
Yep, sure.
Okay, so tight end, I think we can safely say Jack Andrews established himself as the dude last year coming through. I love the story, right? He's a local kid, Monta Vista. He's a walk-on coming in, and then he just balls out. One thing I know from talking to the strength staff at Cal, there's a couple dudes. Fernando's one of them. Jack Andrews is the other dude. That when you monitor their output, like total percentage of potential output, max output, these guys are practicing at near max output every single time they step on the field. And there's two ways that you can look at that, right? What is their total potential volume in terms of athletic ability? That's one thing. So if they're practicing at the highest level, you know, but their potential is 80 and everybody else's potential is 100, right? They're high volume, but not quite the same. Or are they up there doing it, you know, at that 100% level? And there's a mix that goes together. But I know this, those guys are both try hard, do hard guys. They are doing their best. They are working hard every single day. And it showed up for Jack Andrews on the field in terms of the way that he executed in games.
Yeah, Jack had a really successful year, 35 catches, 402 yards, two TDs. He's the second leading tight end in production coming back this season. So you'll be expecting a lot from him. And, you know, he's not your typical preferred walk-on. He had a lot of scholarship offers. He had Fresno State. He had San Jose State. He had a bunch of them. But Al was where he wanted to be, and he was confident that he could not only earn a scholarship, but that he could earn one early. And credit to him, he did earn it early.
Yeah, he did, and he balled out. He was a good football player in high school. He had to put on a little bit of weight, right, and a little bit of man strength, which is a big deal for him, and he did it. And you know, more power to him. He's a dude, really proud of him, obviously a local dude, know his parents real well. I was joking. I saw Jack the other day. We were joking back to his Cub Scout days. My wife was actually his den master, or whatever they call it, den leader for his Cub Scout troop. Pack 689, go Pack 689. So anyway, but we've known him for a long time. We've known the family for a long time. Fantastic people, and couldn't be happier for Jack. Anybody else at tight end position that you love?
So Hickton Byrne is a guy that's not going to be a pass-catching threat for the most part. He'll catch ball here and there, but he's pretty physical out there. They like his blocking. Interesting option two with Marquise Montgomery, a big, tall receiver, making the switch to tight end. He's about 6'4", 225 or so. And he'll bring that pass-catching ability to the position.
Not your blocking tight end.
No, not your blocking tight end. But you know, Henry's blocked fairly well at a similar weight last year, too. So it's just a matter of technique and want to, I think. And then Jeffrey Johnson is a preferred walk-on who's produced pretty well in practices. He's a guy that can catch and block. And then Ben Marshall is a redshirt freshman who came in with a lot of accolades, but he was too light to play as a freshman. Good receiver, good blocker. Let's see how much strength he's added and if he's ready to contribute too.
Yeah, so tight end room deep in terms of bodies, and it's not a huge offensive position in terms of what the Bears do with it, right? With when Billy Muss was the OC, we had 14 tight ends on the field at all times. But now that we're, you know, running more of an air raid style with a power run scheme, we have them on the field, just not quite as big of a piece of the on-field product.
Yeah.
So, okay, we've covered everything else. Now, the wide receiver room, holy crap. Like, talk about turnover in the wide receiver room this year. Coming back, we have Maven Anderson, Mason Starling, and Tron Gurzel, right? Mason didn't play a ton. Maven played, we saw enough of Maven to understand who he is. And then Tron actually had a real breakout year last year. But again, our receivers did not separate like we should have last year. We could not create separation at that position. And I was a little bit shocked because I thought we were going to be able to do more than that at that position because we had some physical tools. We had speed at that position. And so now coming back this year, I'm hoping that we can create some separation, create some opportunity at that position. I think we know Maven Anderson. I think we know Tron Gurzel. I expect them to improve. Mason Starling, six-year senior. We'll see what comes out of Mason this year as well.
Talk about those three guys. Obviously, Tron came from nowhere to have a really good season. He finished 23rd in the conference with 39 catches, 590 yards, and 5 TDs. So he had some really nice production. They would be in the top 14 range or so of returning production. We'd lose Jeremiah Hunter, Taj Davis, and Monroe Young, which was the dominant majority of the production outside of Gazelle. But none of those guys were burners, and they realized with that separation issue that we needed to see more speed out there. Maven is a guy who's fast, but he was hurt all year. He played injured, and he didn't play nearly as much as he normally would. He had 8 career starts coming into the season. But they remedied the speed issue quite a bit with some of their portal guys. We can talk a little bit about that. Mikey Matthews came from Utah, 29 catches, 261 yards as a true freshman, really quick, really shifty, hard to cover. Fourth in the conference in kick return yards as a true freshman. That was nice production from him. Tobias Merriweather was a big sign.
I'm going to go in and kind of chip in as you go with these guys. Mikey Matthews, you watch him on film. Obviously, he had 7 receptions versus Cal. So, right, we know what he can do. He's a good football player. He's quick, like you said, quick as a hiccup. So, he's the down-the-line screen guy. He's the smoke screen guy. He's the get-him-the-ball-in-the-shallow-cross guy. He's fast up top. And I think he's a guy that can create separation with his jitterbug style. That said, he's also 5'10", so he's not a big dude, and that separation is going to have to be a thing so that your quarterback can – little guys, as a quarterback, I'll tell you right now, little guys are harder to put the ball on because if you have big DBs, and most teams are going to that big DB style, and we'll see what the ACC is like when we get back there. But in the Pac-12, we had a lot of big DBs, and it's tougher to put the ball into that window because they have longer arm reach, bigger space, they cover more ground. Little receivers, it's tougher to do that. So I'm excited to see Mikey Matthews. I think his physical skills in terms of quickness and speed are going to be a huge asset. I expect him to separate, which will make it easier for quarterbacks to get him the ball. Plus, he's going to give you that smoke screen, quick screen changeup that keeps defenses guessing.
Yeah, and you've got another similar guy coming in to him size-wise and style-wise in Jonathan Brady from New Mexico State. Really productive year last year with 38 catches and 624 yards, 16 yards a catch and 4 TDs. So those guys are going to be both kind of the cheerbug style guys that can find that green grass that Flesh was talking about in this conversation with you, where they can break off routes and just find seams, and Fernando's smart enough to find them and get the ball to them.
I would think so. I love this. He is Jonathan Ballgame Brady. So got to have the Ballgame nickname. And then he is self-described as dynamic. So he does not lack for confidence. I love that in a receiver. Those are both your slot guys, right? Mikey Matthews is a slot guy. Jonathan Brady is a slot guy. In this offense, it's multiple, so they'll be at different places. But you're going to match that guy up against a nickel guy in space, and that quick little jitterbug against a nickel in space gives you something pretty special. And so I think they both have a chance. Once again, and I say this every year with recruits, with dudes coming in, with transfers to the portal, people were asking me about Sam Jackson last year. Like, oh, Sam Jackson. I'm like, let's see. I mean, let's see what he shows up. I want to see what these guys do when they show up. I 100% hope that they are all conference year one. But I always want to see it, right? Prove it to me. Let me see what you're all about. And as soon as you show me that you're a player, I will talk lovingly about you. So let's do that. Let's prove it. Let's see what they can do. Let's see some spring ball. And we'll get back to you on this one come May. But so I'm interested in seeing both of those guys, how quick and how that kind of converts into playing on the field. Finally, Tobias Merriweather. Now, here's a target, right? 6'4", 205, out of Notre Dame. The film clips that I've seen, he can burn elite-type speed. He can get over the top. There's one in particular, like his leadoff play is the big post through the middle of a defense, and he's like 7 yards behind anybody. And so I love seeing that. That speed, that size. I don't know that he's necessarily a natural catcher of the football, but you can overcome that with a ton of reps. But he has the everything that you're looking for in that position. Obviously got recruited by Notre Dame, so I think his chops are verified by that type of recruiting. And so I'm excited to see him once he hits the field in spring ball.
Yeah, the interesting question with Callaway, he was super productive out of high school and had offers from everybody, but he didn't get a lot of opportunity at Notre Dame, and I don't know if that's a talent depth issue there. He had 14 catches last year, but man, he made them count. 284 yards, 20 yards a catch, and two TDs out of those 20 catches. So, yeah, talking about having proved something, he's a guy that we really want to see. Is he a guy that's a specialty receiver, or is he a guy that you can count on to pull in 30, 40, 45, maybe 50 catches if the game breaks right for him this season? I'd like to have a guy with his athleticism and his size and speed come into the program anyway as a great option to use if things break right. And we talked a little bit about Starling. Starling didn't get to play at all, but man, if he could stay healthy somehow, like the best receiver on the roster in fall camp before he got hurt last year, and the size and everything. But, you know, does he have the body, does he have the frame to stay healthy? I don't know. I mean, there's always going to be doubts until he can prove himself and stay out there.
Well, that's it. Certain guys are so high twitch and so high strung that it's hard for them to stay healthy. They pop and things hurt, and you know they're hyper integrated, and there's all kinds of stuff that goes on with athletes like that. I've seen enough of him that I know what he can do, what he has potential to do. I would just like to see it translate into play on the field, and if until it does that, you know, it's tough, right? I'm not a what have you done for me lately guy, because obviously you contribute to the team even when you get hurt, but I would like to see him contribute on the field as well. That would be awesome.
Yeah. Then you've got some young returning guys that have a lot of speed, but they had some trouble holding onto the ball in fall camp. And Isaiah Hunter and Javen Plummer, Marquez Dorch, all those guys, speed and athleticism, but you got to hold onto the rock or you're not going to see the field.
A natural catcher of the football is the way I like to refer to it.
Yes.
If they are not a natural catcher of the football, then, so what happens at that receiver position is track guys end up playing receiver, right? They might be great athletic guys, so not just straight ahead guys. But because they have speed, they're put at that position in high school. In high school, you can be phenomenal even if you're not a natural catcher, because once you do catch the ball, nobody's going to touch you. Nobody's going to catch you. You're behind people. You're catching go routes. And so I think that that's it's what you get some athletes that can run fast at that position, but you have to learn how to catch the ball. And it's all about concentration. It's all about watching that football hit your hands every single time and not being so worried about making your next move until you put that ball away. I talk about this on the air all the time, and it drives me crazy when I watch receivers do this, when they don't put it away and don't tuck it. And so just keep working the rock. I know they've got the new jugs machine that's programmable, and these guys can all catch 1,000 balls a day. And so that's a huge help in terms of catching footballs, or 1,000 a week or whatever BT's got them doing. By the way, Burl Toller, talk about a great job recruiting at that position. He's got some dudes in that room. So congratulations to him. But now let's see those dudes execute. Let's see those dudes kind of come to age at that position. I want to see that receiver position kind of fill out and play well. That'd be awesome to see. Getting separation would be key at receiver this year. We got some speed. We got some tools to do it. And then making plays, making catches. Freshman coming in, too. Guy I know really, really well, Trevor Rogers. His brother Chris, obviously, was a Cal guy, played at Cal. Trevor played at Akilani's. I coached his high school quarterback, Sully Bailey, whose father was a fullback for us at Cal. Sully was a great little player, too. They went to state in one state this year. And so they've got, you know, a couple guys they've worked with. Trevor's worked with a good quarterback. He's got to switch from a lefty to a righty orientation because Sully's a lefty. But he's a dude with some tools now. He is tall. He's maybe 6'4", just under 6'4", right at that position, right at that number. He's physically large, over 200. And he's a dude with some speed who can get over the top. But he's physical. He's long. He has ability. He has classic young guy stuff going on, where just what I was talking about, watching that ball hit your hands and tuck it away. He has natural hands. He is a natural catcher of the football. But he's got the, you know, he was a big man in high school. He was a dude in high school. And I think that he didn't get coached hard at that position as a result. And if he were one of my receivers, I would have been on his ass every single day. And Trev, you know I love you. And when you come out and throw with me, I tell you this all the time. I would have been on him to tuck that ball away and to do it. And so he's going to start doing that. I just saw him recently working out with Sully, and he is already looking like a college receiver now, just since the season ended. So I'm looking forward to see Trev hit the field in blue and gold. It's nice to have him as part of the family, but I think he can be a real addition to that receiver room.
Yeah, and the speed, yeah, teach 10-500 at that size. That's a great combo and highly productive too. He was over 1,000 yards, both junior and senior year of high school. So he's a guy that could very well see the field, at least on a part time basis his freshman year.
And he has the tools to get there. Like, so I'm gushing about him. I love Trev. He's a good kid, and he has the tools to become a really good player if he puts the focus in. And I think he is right now. I think he's working on it. He's running track too, so he's still working on speed right now.
Yeah. And Josiah Martin's another guy, a Texas recruit who's got a lot of athleticism, and he's quick and he's productive. And, you know, he might open some eyes his true freshman year too. You never know. There's a lot of guys in that room, so it's not easy to get on the field as a true freshman when it's really deep. But you bring a special skill set to the field, you find your...
They find a way.
Yeah.
Yeah, they find a way to get you on the field if you can make something happen. So for sure. And the other thing about college football these days is you have to keep recruiting the guys that are already in the room because of transfer portal and NIL. So you got to make some dudes happy. Everybody's got to touch the rock every now and then. And so if you bring some skills, you're going to see the field for sure.
And there's one other wild card too, preferred walk-on transfer, Cole Bascia. Another
one.
Sonata Vista came from Colorado. They really liked him over there. So, you know, he could find his way to the field too, and he's got some good size too.
Yeah, I forgot about Bascia. Obviously, everybody knows I coach at Cal High. I saw Bascia several times. We played him. He's a good football player. He's big, 6'3", 210, right? He is a athletic, smooth, very smooth operator at that position. He has a very good head about him when it comes to football. I would love to see him just develop a little harder nose, be a guy who will stick his nose in there, who is fearless to go across the middle, who will go make the big play because he has the tools to make the big play. And so I'd like to see that finish. I only saw him in high school. So he's got a year of college, a couple of years of college underneath him. He's a guy who has some tools to play at the position. And I'm looking forward to seeing him in spring ball, seeing what he looks like now compared to what he did look like. Because a couple of years of college weight room training and being around dudes on you know, college football team makes you a lot tougher than you were in high school.
Yeah. The one thing that we didn't get into is the receivers were disappointing in the blocking game. And obviously we'd like to see them be more physical this year. And that's a big challenge. I mean, some of the transfers that came in aren't big guys. So that'll be a challenge just from a size standpoint, but blocking is a mentality too. You got to have that tough streak in you. You got to want that contact. It's not all about just catching the ball and scoring a touchdown. It's about creating space for other people to make plays too. And they got to get that consistent effort this year. You talked about that?
What's that?
We talked to Bro at all about that, about the physicality in the blocking game.
We've talked about it. Yeah. I mean, the term is no block, no rock. The thing is when your offensive coordinator is an O-line coach, I guarantee you that blocking is going to become a huge piece of the pie when they're evaluating who makes the field at that receiver position. A couple blocks here and there, a couple just being in the right position would have made a huge difference in the Cal season last year. And so I think that that will obviously be a huge piece. The thing about blocking, you know, I'm a quarterback. I didn't ever have to block anybody. So it's a physical skill, just like tackling is, that you have to practice over and over and over and over, which means it has to matter. It has to matter to you. Your coach can be on you all you want, but these are college-level athletes. And so in order for it to make a difference, it needs to matter to them. Burrow can tell them all he wants, and he can get on their butt about not doing it. But until it matters to the receivers that they go out and block, that they block for each other, they block for running backs, it's not going to get done. And so as a unit, that team has to decide, that group, that receiver group has to decide that they want to be the physical dudes out there. And if they do, it'll make a huge difference.
Yeah. And one thing we didn't talk about, too, with the tight end group, new tight end coach Tim Plow was their coach last year. But yeah, you know, Plow was a quarterback and he was a natural coordinator. So that tight end position as a coach was different for him. And that's so common that a lot of coaches coach at a position they didn't play at, or a lot of coaches coach when they never played. Obviously, Mike Seifel coming to the position, people say, well, he was an offensive lineman. How's he going to be as a tight end coach? But man, you won't find many brighter coaches out there. The guy just is a sponge in terms of taking in knowledge and being able to communicate effectively. What's your experience with guys moving to new positions that they didn't play or didn't coach before? And what are your thoughts on him moving to the tight end coach?
Oh, I love Seifel. Hey, first and foremost, he's one of my dudes. I mean, I love him. So I have nothing bad to say about that. I think he will bring a nasty to that tight end position, which is good. They could use a little of it, right? Jack could use a little bit of that. He can get a little nasty. We were coming back. Well, what game was it? I forget what game it was, but I think it was UCLA, right? And we're coming back. And I said, hey, good game. By the way, you missed that block. And he's like, oh, I know. So I gave him heat about that. But I think a little bit of that is going to help that room. And I think that, you know, tight end on offense is where you start off as a coach. That's where they put the dude. Because what happens is when it comes to run game, you're working with the O-line coach. When it comes to passing game, you're working with the receivers coach and the quarterback's coach. And so you're never really on your own at that position. It's the utility spot that they put new coaches. It's a utility spot that they put coaches that they want on the staff, like Tim Plow, right? Tim Plow was a good coach, great offensive mind, a guy who was a real asset to the coaching staff. And so you bring him in, you put him there, it's a space saver. It's a place to get him into the staff. And so a tight end spot is where you do that to start. And so I think Seifel will bring a physicality to the position. He is super bright. I think he is learning and will learn and will continue to learn the things that he doesn't know about it. I think it'll be great to round out his education as a coach, because those I won't call him a fat guy. He's a coach now. Okay, no fat guys. Those not so skinny guys don't think a lot about the vertical passing game. They don't think a lot about releases. They think they know about hand position when it comes to blocking, but they don't think about hand position when it comes to getting off a jam and where it's supposed to be in your stance and weight and balance, you know, when you're stance. And so all those things, I think, will help him grow as a coach. And I think he'll bring a new insight to it because he's learning it. And so you never learn something like you do when you teach it. And I think that will help him teach those guys as well. And so I think it's good. It's a really smart room. Like Jack Andre's super bright. There's a lot of dudes in that room who are super bright. Tight ends are always bright for whatever reason. And you put Saffel in there, man, it's going to be like a meeting of a scientist, which will be cool.
And I must mention too that Saffel spent a lot of time with Bile last season and soaked up a lot of his knowledge of what the position group was doing. So he's not just coming in completely raw. He's coming in having been exposed to the position, and he's a super bright guy. So you know he's been studying it night and day. Have you had any contact with new quarterback coach Sterling Gilbert yet?
I talked to him over the bowl game just real quick. I have not seen him in the offices. They were recruiting all early, January, spring, and December, and then they were off when I was in there last. So I was out there. I did a photo shoot in Memorial Stadium, had it all to myself. It was awesome, but he was gone then. So I'm going to stop in just before spring ball and kind of pop my head in the room and go say hello.
I know some people are a little worried because it feels like a comfort hire that he's worked with them before, but you have to look at the other side of the coin. He's worked with them before. He knows what he's capable of. He knows what he brings to the offense. And why in the world would you want to bring in a guy who's not going to take your offense to a higher level just because you're comfortable with him?
That is a very good question. I can't tell you. I don't know very much about him, so I don't want to speak on him. I know that Mike Blesch likes him. I like Mike Blesch, and so I will extend my like through Mike Blesch. That's where I'm at right now. But I'll meet with him. I'd love to come in the quarterback meeting rooms. I love being a part of that. And I would love to sit down with him and have a good talk. We'll have him on the podcast. How about that? I'm sure we can wrangle him for the podcast. We'll talk quarterback stuff. He was a Texas high school football coach at one point, so you got to love that part. But yeah, we'll get him on here. We'll talk to him. We'll get him to ferret it out and tell us his thoughts on the position. And we'll see if we agree. I'm old school.
He's bringing in a guy that he thinks can help the offense and not just a comfort. I just can't imagine.
There's no way. Your job counts on this, right? Your job depends on the dudes you bring in. And so, I mean, the hell is a comfort hire? I don't, at this level, it's what have you done for me lately? I hate that term, by the way. I told you I'm writing a new book, right? So for all of our Bear Insider fans, I'm writing a new book. You guys need to get it. It's going to come out during football season. But that's one of the stories in my book. These coaches, what have you done? You're as good as your last rep. Yeah, whatever. Like, I hate that. So he knows what this guy's like. He's going to be a guy who is going to perform because he's Mike Blesch, and making that hire, right? Because it's his call, is basing his future potential salary earning on a guy that he's hiring. I don't think there's any such thing as a comfort hire.
So for this team to have a solid offense this year moving into the ACC, what would you like to see?
I do like the idea of being run first, not run heavy, run first, and force teams to defend the run. Cal comes in with leading rusher in the conference last year, and a really good conference in the Pac-12. And so I think carrying that forward would be great, getting teams to stack the box and then allowing the young receivers to find space, find themselves in the early games, so that you start to develop that chemistry between your quarterback and the receivers. So I would love to see Fernando take the next step at that quarterback position now that he has played very well at times last season. I'd like to see him take the next step to become the quarterback I expect he can be physically, mentally. He's got a lot of want to, for sure. And so I'd like to see him take the next step. I'd like to see the offense take the next step with him. I'd like to see Jay Knott compete for that All-American spot this year, right? Get some of that national spotlight. You're going to get a lot of East Coast attention, which you don't get when you're playing in the Pac-12. And so compete for that All-American status at that running back position. I'd like to see some of these receivers turn into bright spots for us. Some of the new guys really step up, find separation, make it an easy target for your quarterback, and run and read really well so that you guys can all be on the same page. If they do that, use a tight end and then roll about 150, 160 yards per game on the ground, that would be very successful on offense. And I think that would open it up to having that 400-yard offensive game, keeping the defense off the field enough, and then hopefully the defense picks up a little bit this year, right? There were times where the defense last year couldn't quite keep it together. There's some blown assignments, and we'll talk about the defense later. But help your defense out. Keep them off the field. Get guys in so they, when they come back out, they're fresh and they can make plays and then capture momentum when the defense gives you the opportunity to capture momentum. That will give you your best chances of offense.
And I know the level of respect you have for the role the offensive line plays in the game, Blash changed the mentality of those guys last year, and you could see it right away. I'd like to see a continued upward trend in the trajectory of their nastiness and confidence and just the ability to take it to a defense instead of just being functional and being more physical on the blocking end and the receivers too. I think if we get more physical on both those positions, that would go a long way too.
Oh, I mean, the more physical you get at every position, the better you're going to be, right? When you can be more physical in your opponent, you're just going to win football games, period. That's the way it is. You have to be technically sound too, but if you're technically sound and then more physical, you just win a lot more football games because physicality is the answer, right? It's a very violent game. And if you are more violent than the other guy, you get him to relent first. And I love that. That's kind of the best part of the game.
Well, on the surface, it looks like there's relatively solid depth at all the positions. The ingredients are there to have a solid offensive year. We just need to see what happens. We need to see a new conference. We need to see how these guys execute. It's not an obvious situation where it's going to be a good offense, no questions asked. But I think the pieces are in place to have a solid offensive season. Let's hope that things come to bear that way.
Yeah, have some tools. Everything's got to work out, right? Injuries got to stay away, everything else. I'm not going to be Pollyanna about it. I want to see them perform. I want to see what happens on the field. Again, I really like Mike Blesch, not just as a coach, but as a dude. I love him. He's a great dude. And so I would love to see him have success. Fernando, learn to love him, right? As a player, as a quarterback, as a Cal guy, like he's the whole package. I would love to see him have success on the field. I would love to see, Jay Knott have another big year. And especially the big guys, I would love to see them have a fantastic year. And that would make the whole team better because they are the heart and soul of the team. They set the tempo. So that would be big. But yeah, I mean, the offense has a chance. Let's see what happens. I'll know more after spring ball. And then we'll see who defects after spring ball. And like there's still a whole host of changes waiting to happen. And we'll see what happens there. And then we'll see what we go into fall camp with. But for now, that's the offense. Jim, always a pleasure having you on, dude. Looking forward to talking defense next.
Good. Thanks, Mike.
Yeah. So everybody at home, thank you guys for watching. It's kind of in depth. There's a lot there. You can chew on it, watch it again, share it out. Make sure that you're sharing this out. It will help us out and, give you something to talk about with your Cal friends, your Cal fans. So go ahead and do that. But for now, I appreciate you guys watching. I'm Mike Pulaski for Jim McGill and Bear Insiders, the Ultimate Insider. As always, go Bears.